Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Bible said this in Ruth chapter number 2, verse number 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" Now, this is Ruth talking to Boaz, is who it is. And again, here's what she says: "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing that I am a stranger?" And just for a little while this morning, I want to preach to you on the grace of God found here in the book of Ruth. Father, I love you today. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for allowing us to gather like this. Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to serve you and to worship you. God, thank you, Lord, just for being good to us. Thank you, God, for grace today and you extending that to us. Father, you know the need of the service. I pray, God, that you'd be with us here in the auditorium. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd be with the kids in youth church. I pray, God, that you'd help Brother Heath out there today. God, if there's anybody here lost, God, I pray, God, that you'd save them today. Father, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated. Now, when you come into the book of Ruth, you that has ever read the book of Ruth or that's heard me preach long at all, you've heard me preach out of the book of Ruth. I love this little bitty book. It's just four short chapters, but my soul, it is amazing what all is found in this little book of Ruth. Now, the beginning of the story, Ruth is not mentioned. The beginning of chapter number one, we are introduced to a man that begins to sojourn in the land of Moab. And as he goes there, you'll find out that Elimelech takes his wife, Naomi, and their two sons, Chilion and Malon, there to sojourn with them. And I sometimes people complain about their name, but at least it's not Chilion and Malon. I'm thankful for Jonathan today, amen. But anyway, as you begin to think about this story and what's going on here, he leaves Bethlehem, Judea, and goes to Moab. Now, just real quickly, Bethlehem, Judea is the house of bread. It's where God's children was at. And Moab in the Bible means God's wash pot. In other words, if you want to say it this way, it is a picture of the world. It is a type of the world. And Bethlehem, Judea is a type of being in the presence of God. And Elimelech decides to leave in a famine and go from Bethlehem, Judea to Moab. Now, something that I find very interesting, when you read chapter number one, you'll find out that even though it was a time of famine, that Elimelech goes out full and comes home. He don't come home empty. He dies in Moab, but Naomi comes home empty. Now, why would you leave if you was full? Just think about that. And I find that so interesting that they go out full. God had, even in the midst of a famine, had continued to meet their need. But they decide to sojourn over to Moab, and they was just going to stay a day or two. But 10 years later, now Elimelech is dead, now Malon is dead, Chilion is dead, and Malon and Chilion has married Orpah and a little lady by the name of Ruth. Naomi decides, she hears that the famine is over in Bethlehem, Judea. She decides to go back to Bethlehem, Judea, the house of bread where God is blessing Gad. And when she begins to leave, Orpah and Ruth Ruth decides they're going to go with her. Now, I never have understood this, but Naomi tries her best to get Orpah and to get Ruth to stay in Moab. We know the story that Orpah ends up staying in Moab, but know what Ruth says. Ruth says, I'm going with you, Naomi. Know what she says in chapter number 1. Look with me in verse number 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. So Ruth makes a decision in the land of Moab that she is leaving the wash pod, and she's going to the house of bread. Now, the only way that Ruth would have ever experienced what she's going to experience in chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4 is because she made a decision to leave her current condition. In other words, she was living at the wash pot. She was living in the world. She was doing the things of the world. And she made a decision that day. I am going a new way. I'm going to have a new Lord. I'm going to have a new lodging. I'm going to a new place. And she leaves from there in Moab and they go to Bethlehem, Judea. When they get to Bethlehem, Judea, they are confronted. And you know the story with Naomi there and what all happens. And whenever they get back, neither one of them has a husband now. Both of them's widows. They get back and Ruth says this to Naomi. I'm going to go out into the barley field and I'm going to find something for us to eat and I'm going to bring it back. Well, there was a man in Bethlehem, Judea. His name was Boaz. And according to the Bible, Boaz was a very wealthy man. Boaz didn't want for nothing. Everything Boaz needed and everything Boaz wanted, Boaz had it at his hand. And you know whose field that Ruth decides to go glean in? She don't know whose field it is, but she decides it's the Cinderella story of the Bible. Man, I love it. She decides to go to this field. She gets over there. You can read all of this in chapter number 2. She gets over there in that field. She's a Moabitish girl, a type of the world, over here in Bethlehem, Judea, and she's working in the field. And all of a sudden, this man shows up and looks over the field. You know who that man is? That man is Boaz. And as he looks over the field, here's what he says in chapter 2, verse number 5. Then said Boaz unto his servants that was over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Boaz looks out and sees Naomi or sees Ruth. And when he sees Ruth, he said, hey, looky here. I got to know who that girl is out there in that field. Now, just think about this. She is a servant, if you want to put it that way. She's not even a servant. She's just somebody out there in the field in a time of need trying to find something to eat for her family, her and her mother-in-law. And here the man that owns it all, here the wealthy man, here the rich man shows up, and out of all the people that he inquires about, guess who he inquires about? This little lady named Ruth right here. He said, hey, who is that right there? I said this preaching on Tuesday night at Brother Josh's. It was kind of like one October night back in 1998. That's for some of y'all's even thought about. But back in 1998, I was standing beside a 1994 Ford Probe GT. Somebody say amen right there. It was something back then. It might not be nothing today, but Josh, it was something back then. I was standing there directing traffic as a camp meeting let out, and this tall brunette come walking by that had hair way down her back, And I looked over at the boy beside me named Clayton Maynard, and I said, "Who is that right there?" He said, "I'm not sure." I said, "Well, I guarantee you one thing, I'm going to marry her one day." He said, "You've lost your mind." But you know what happened? He stood as one of the groomsmen in the wedding the day that I married that lady that walked past us that night, and it was Miss Leslie sitting back here behind me. It was kindly the same way. Brother Josh, you remember the first day you seen Miss Tanya? Do you regret it? That was the right answer, son. Brother Robert, you remember the first day you seen Miss Chris? It's been a long time ago, hadn't it, son? But you still remember it. Brother Stan, you remember the first day. That's the way it was. Boaz said, "Hey, who's this girl right here?" And they said, "Well, she's a Moabitish girl." And I need an hour to preach what that means, but they didn't have nothing to do with them, man. They didn't have nothing at all to do with them. But Boaz ended up falling in love with Ruth. He ends up telling her, he says, "Don't go to no other field. You stay right here. I've commanded the people not to mess with you. There ain't no other man going to mess with you." In other words, what he done, he fell in love with Ruth that day and started being good to Ruth. And here's what Ruth says when she begins to talk to him. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" You know what she's saying? Here's what she's saying. "Boaz, I just don't understand why you're being so good to me. Boaz, I'm a stranger. Boaz, I'm a Moabitish girl. Boaz, I'm not even from around here. But Boaz, you're choosing to love me and you're choosing to be good to me. Boaz, I don't understand why you're showing me grace." Now, can I make a parallel to that today? Let's let Ruth be us for just a minute. You know, that's the way every one of us was. We were strangers in the eyes of God. We didn't deserve God. Let's let Boaz be our heavenly Father for just a minute. Let's let Boaz typify Christ for just a minute today. And you know what all of us was? We was alienated. We didn't deserve Him. We was just here where He had placed us at, going through our everyday life. But aren't you thankful that there was a day that He showed up where you was at, that the Lord showed up where you was at, and the Lord showed interest in you, even though He didn't have to? Can I just say that again? Even though He didn't have to, He chose to. And you know what I find myself saying? I find myself saying, Brother Jim, the exact same thing that Ruth is saying right here. Lord, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Lord, why are you so good to me? You know the songwriter said it well. God's been good to us. There's a roof over our head. There's food in our stomach. There's shoes on our feet. You know what all of that is today, friend? All of that is the grace of an almighty God. Why is the Lord so good to us? Have you ever thought about that? Olivia and I was gomming around this past Thursday. I don't know if y'all ever do any of that, but you ought to do that sometimes. It's really fun, amen? You say, what's a gomming? That's when you don't do much of nothing. You just ride around and look at the trees and the leaves changing colors. And we had an appointment to go see a fella about a guitar, and it worked out good, didn't it? But anyway, we was just out gomming around, and we saw a fella about a guitar, and we ended up buying that guitar, and we was coming up the road talking about it. We went to Main Street and walked around on Main Street and got us some guitar strings, because if you got a guitar, you got to have guitar strings. And we walked by Flip Reese's and Page's and was just walking around. And this thought come to my mind: why is God so good to me? Why is God so good to me? You know, we don't deserve it, Brother Josh. We don't deserve what we have. Now, I wish somebody would help the preacher this morning. We don't deserve what we have, but God, time and time and time again, has showed us grace. I want to talk to you about that thought for just a minute. And I'm watching the time because we got youth church, but if I'm not done, they're not going to come running in here till I get done. I thought about that this morning. Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Well, what is grace today? One has said this, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. I thought that was a really good definition of that. It's God's riches is Christ's expense. But I got the old 1828 Webster's out this week, and I looked up that word grace. Now, there's numerous meanings to it, but let me give you just one or two. One of them is this, the application of Christ's righteousness to the sinner. The application of Christ's righteousness to the sinner. What did Romans 5:20 say? Where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Here's what grace is. It's a state of reconciliation. A state of reconciliation. Listen to what the Bible said in Romans 5:2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. How did we have access into God? It was through grace. It was because Christ reconciled us back to God. I thought about this. How did we get grace? Well, grace, I'm headed somewhere. Grace was extended to us by Christ. Grace was extended to us by Christ. Yesterday at Central Surrey, we had a little fundraiser. And yesterday evening, a lady pulled in with the hot dogs, and I walked out there, Brother Corbin, to help her get those hot dogs and take them in. And a lot of people, they didn't know who that lady was. But those who know her well knows exactly who she was. She didn't look like it right then, but she is a judge is who she is. And here's what I thought about as I was, Carrie, you say, did you? Oh, yeah, I made sure she didn't have to touch nothing. She didn't want to touch. I'd done everything I could do for her. I opened the door for her. I'd have parked her car for her. I would have chauffeured her back to her house if she needed to. You say, why? Because I might be standing in front of her one day. She's a judge. And we walked inside and I helped her put those things up. And here's exactly what I thought. That woman right there has the power to give you a really, 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 really not bad day, not bad week, not bad month. She can give you a bad life. She can give you bad decades if she wants to. Are you hearing me this morning? So you know what I did, Brother Tim? Anything else you need, ma'am, I'll be glad to help you. Anything you need, you just tell me. The power that rests in her. In all honesty, let's think about it. The power that rests in her. You know what also she has the ability to do? She has the ability to extend grace to you and find you not guilty in anything that's brought before her. It's her call on what she does on it. Can I just say this? There was a day that I was brought before the judge of all the world, and his name was God. And you know what? I was guilty of everything that they brought up that day. I was guilty of sinning. I was guilty of missing the mark. I was guilty of every bit of it. But I had a lawyer named Jesus that reconciled me back to God and brought me back in fellowship with him. Can I say something to you today? God don't have to be good to us. God don't have to extend us grace. God don't have to love us. But is there anybody else that's thankful today that grace has been extended to us by the Lord Jesus Christ? That grace came by him. Listen to what he said in Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Listen to what he said in John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You see, Moses did create the law in inspiration by God. He did write the law. And all throughout the Old Testament, you know what they they did every year. They brought that sacrifice to the tabernacle, and they made that sacrifice every year for the sin of mankind, because no one could keep the law. Oh, but aren't you glad there was a day that Jesus Christ showed up on the earth by the way of a virgin, by the name of Mary, and lived 33 and a half years, and then walked yonder to Calvary's tree. Your sin and my sin was placed on him that day, and he was crucified. And because of that, time out, he just didn't die, but one third in glorious morning he got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Stuck around 40 days, reached up in the heavens, pulled down a cloud, stepped up on it, and said, "Glory, please," and sent the Holy Ghost to us to comfort us during this time. But it was that Christ that extended grace to us. We couldn't keep the law. We was all condemned to hell. But aren't you glad Christ extended grace to you and I? And you know what? Boaz, when he walked by Ruth that day, nothing required him to do what he did. Nothing required Boaz to show Ruth kindness. Let me tell you the reason he did. He saw something in her that nobody else saw. And let me tell you the reason God loved you the way that he did, and God done what he did for you, because God saw something in you that nobody else did. Hey, a lot to you and to me also. This world would have said that we was no count. This world would have said that we would never make nothing out of our life. But aren't you glad that God don't go off of what this world says, but Christ extends grace? It's extended by this grace that we enjoy. It's extended by Christ. Let me show you three things and we'll go home. Number one, I thought about this. This grace is exonerating grace. It's exonerating. That word exonerating means this: freeing from any charge or imputation. It is to free from any charge. The grace of God is exonerating. It is freeing grace. Listen to what he said in Titus 3:7. That being justified by his grace. Listen to what he said in Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace. You know what that word justified means? Very simply, just as if I had never done it. Just as if I had never done it. That's what it means. And you know what he's saying? Because of the grace of God, all the sins of our past, all the sins of our present. Can I go a step further? All the sins of our future. Not just our past sins, not just our present sins, but our future sin. All the sins that we've ever committed and all the sins that we ever will commit, there is grace that is exonerating that sets us free. You know, a lot of people, and I'm not going to say much about this, but a lot of people think, you know what, if I get saved... And in which I preached, I really dealt with this a lot a couple weeks ago. But if I get saved and I really surrender myself to serve the Lord, and I really sell out and give God everything, and wholeheartedly serve God, it's a life of bondage. No, it's an exonerating life. It is a life of freedom. Oh yes, the bondage of this world holds me no more. The bondage of some drug, the bondage of alcohol, the bondage of fornication, the bondage of adultery, the bondage of this world no longer holds us. Once we're saved, we are exonerated, we're set free, we're justified. We're justified, and all of it's by grace. There's nothing. Our righteousness, according to the Bible, was filthy rags. Don't get mad at me here. If you do, you've been mad at me before, though. You're not a good person. I'm not a good person. according to the Bible, our righteousness is as filthy rags. You say, well, preacher, I'm sitting in church cinema. Well, I am too. I was in church Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night of this week also. But that don't mean I'm a righteous person. I'm not. I'm wicked. Miss Morgan, I came in this morning, and Miss, after I had been here a while, Brother Heath and Miss Morgan came in. They was getting the van, and Miss Morgan always goes to the nursery with little Kyler now. So usually from about 9:15 to about 9:30 is me and Kyler time. I go to the nursery, and I play with little Kyler, and I talk to Miss Morgan, and we laugh and cut up. And I said, Miss Morgan, are you having a good morning? And she said, yes, I am. She said, are you? And I said, no, not really. And she looked at me like some of y'all are looking at me right now. She said, well, I hate that preacher. I said, do you ever just not want to get up? She said, oh, yeah. I said, do you ever woke up and just really deep down inside? Now, y'all are going to fall out with me. But really deep down inside, the flesh didn't want to go to church. She said, oh, yeah. I said, you ever woke up and didn't want to pray? The flesh, she said, yeah. I said, well, good. I don't feel as bad now. Every once in a while, we just don't have a good day. Every once in a while, we miss the mark. And you know what? There is grace that exonerates us. It sets us free. It is forgiving. It's what He does to us. He forgives us. I thought about this. It was exonerating grace. It was exonerating grace. I don't have time to walk you through the book of Ruth. But you know where I can find that she never goes back to? Moab. Why? Because she was exonerated from her past. Number two, it's not only exonerating grace, I would say this. Number two, it is enabling grace. It is enabling grace. Listen to what he said in 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. It is enabling grace. So, preacher, how do we live the Christian life that God wants us to live? When you, even as a pastor, just admitted to your church that you woke up this morning and in the flesh wanted to stay in the bed. Grace. It enables us to do what we do. Right here, Ruth finds herself in this field. And when you study this story out, she is moved to another field. And when she gets to that field, all of the other boys are told not to look at her and mess with her. And here's what she is told. She says, you can go, he tells her, you can go over by the water pot and get you some water out of that. That was something that the gleaners did not do. That was for Boaz and his people. But what was Ruth able to do? She was able to go over there and to get water out of that. And here's what else she found. All of a sudden, while she was gleaning in the field, all of a sudden they would just be lumps of barley out there, just like maybe the reaper just throwed out a handful right there where she would be at. Matter of fact, did he not say right here in the book of Ruth, did Boaz not tell him to throw out handfuls of purpose? And you know what she done? The only reason that she was able to go by and get those handfuls of purpose, the only reason she was able to be in that field, the only reason that she was able to drink of that water is because Boaz enabled her to do that. Hey, you want me to tell you the reason I'm able to read my Bible and get something out of it? You want me to tell you the reason that I'm able to preach today? You want me to tell you the reason that I'm able to sing today? It's all because of the grace of a holy God. He enables us to do what we do. I thought about this. It's enabling grace. But it's empowering grace. It's empowering grace. The Bible said this in 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Chapter 4, verse number 9. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day, that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's at the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. Empowering grace. Let me tell you the way that she became Miss Boaz. Because of the power of Boaz. She couldn't just marry Boaz. Are you hearing me? She couldn't just marry Boaz. She couldn't just all of a sudden say, I miss Boaz so I can call. No. Boaz had to extend a hand to her to become Miss Boaz. And you know what he did? He extended a hand to her. And you know what she did? She became Miss Boaz. It is an empowering grace. You say, preacher, there's no way that I can live my life pleasing to God. You're right, without Him. But on Calvary, He extended a hand to you. And extending that hand to you, you know what He done that day? Here's exactly what He done that day. He empowered you to become the sons of God. He said, it's by the grace of God that I am what I am. Empowering grace. Let me show you one more thing. Come start playing softly if you will. It's efficient grace. It is efficient grace. Listen to what he said in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. Can I say something to you? The grace of God is efficient today. It is efficient today. I said this the other Sunday. My truck gets pretty good gas mileage. It gets around 21, 22. Thank God for Ford's, Brother Kevin. Ain't that right? And Olivia's little red racer gets around 38 to 40. So you know what? We've done a little bit more. Now that all of a sudden gas prices is back over $3 a gallon, we've drove something that's a little more efficient. Are you with me? It's a little more efficient. Can I say something about the grace of God? God's grace is efficient for whatever you need. You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm facing today. The grace of God is efficient. You say, preacher, you don't know the life I've lived. Preacher, you don't know me. You don't know anything about me. You don't know my past. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I believe, what I don't believe. I may not know any of that, but I know this: God's grace is sufficient. And if you'll by faith trust Him, if you're not saved, He'll save you, and His grace will be sufficient for whatever you need. You know, the only way that she ever enjoyed this grace, the only way, here's what it was. She had to make a decision to leave Moab. If she had never chose to leave the world, she'd have died in Moab. But she made a choice one day. Said, you know what? I'm going with the Lord, if you want to put it that way. And boy, what a life. What a life. Ruth ends up, now she's wealthy. She's got everything she wants, everything she needs. You know who else does? Naomi. Oh, he didn't forget about Naomi. He bought her too. And here's another message for another day. He bought Orpah too. Orpah's still in Moab, but he bought her. I wonder if anybody ever went and told Orpah that all she had to do was come to Bethlehem, Judea, that her debt was paid and she could live in the joys of Boaz if she'd just come to Bethlehem, Judea. Can I just say something to you? Everybody in this world's already been bought by Christ. Everybody. It's just up to them to accept that. And once they accept that, oh boy, what a new life. She's now sitting at Boaz's feet. She's now around Boaz's table. And you know what ends up happening? Here's what ends up happening. We could talk about the Moabitess girl entering into the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I need an hour to explain all that to you. But here's what ends up happening. She marries Boaz, and they have a child, and they name him Obed-Edom. Obed gets married and has a child. And you know who that was? It was a man by the name of Jesse. Jesse gets married and has a child. And you know who that child was? A man by the name of David. And you know who David was? David was the bloodline that Jesus Christ was going to come from. David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. David was probably the greatest king that Israel ever has known or ever will know until Christ comes back and takes over rule and reign. And you know who David's great-grandma was? Ruth. That little Moabitess girl that was over there that didn't know nothing but decided one day, I tell you what, I've heard there's something good. I've heard there's something good over that way, and I believe I'll ease over that way. And she got over that way, and something real big happened to her. The man that owned all of it fell in love with her, and she married him, and the rest, they lived happily ever after. Let me tell you what happened to some of us one day. We was living over here at Moab, and we got to looking back towards the church, and we said, you know what, there's something happening over there. There's something good. I think I'll go over there and see what's going on. And we went over there, Brother Jerry, to hear some old girls sing from Nashville, Tennessee. And the Holy Ghost got a hold of you and drawed you right back. And before you know it, old Jerry come down and fell in an altar and said, you know what? Goodbye to Moab. Whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. And Jerry began to live a new life all at the hand of Boaz. I'm about to shout and I'm trying to be calm and not holler and jump up and down, but I sure am glad that there was a God one day that in spite of my failures, in spite of where I came from, in spite of my mistakes, in spite of my mess ups, loved me anyway and cared for me anyway and showed grace to a little unlovable Moabitish boy. But he loved me anyway. I don't know if there's anybody else here today that's thankful for the grace of God. But when I think about it, Brother Stan, I just have to say, why have I found grace in thine eyes as holy as God is, as righteous as God is? Why would you look upon me? Why would you love me? Why would you give me what you've given me? I don't understand it, but I sure am thankful for it.